For we share in communion that we are still in the 50-day period after the resurrection of Jesus, and how Jesus showed himself to his disciples over a 40-day period, many appearances, and he did so for a number of reasons he shared with them during that time. But if anybody remember the sermon that I preached as the first in the sequence, that in the series that I wanted to share with you, I said to you, brothers and sisters, that during this time, Jesus did some stuff. He did some stuff as he ministered to the disciples. And one of the stuff that Jesus did was that Jesus rebuked his disciples. Anybody remember we were just throwing some R words all over the place? Jesus rebuked his disciples because of their unbelief. Huh? You remember that? He reminded them of some things because they forgot that he had told them that these things were going to happen to them. He also reached out to them. Anybody remember that? He reached out to them. Somebody like Peter got a big reach out. He did not just get a shout out. He got a reach out. God reached out to Peter in a very particular way, in a special way. And we said that God reassured them in a major way, and he restored them in a big way as well. Well, what are we talking about this morning? As I come to you actually this afternoon, what it is that God has shared, laid on my heart to share with us this morning. I come back to share with you again from Luke chapter 24. If you will turn to Luke chapter 24 for me, please. Luke chapter 24, and if you could work your way all the way down to the passage that was read earlier on. And it says that Jesus took them out to the vicinity of Bethany, verse 50. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. Do not close your Bible because I'm not finished reading. I just want to make some comments here and then we're going to roll on. Right, brothers and sisters, I hope you're planning to attend Bible study this Wednesday evening, because the Bible study is, we're talking about spiritual gifts, and your brothers and sisters are my co-teachers in the Bible study. And where's Antoinette? I'm going to ask Antoinette to stand. Don't stand. Not a wave of hand. Not a shout out, but a stand. Antoinette did our teaching on Wednesday evening. And what a wonderful teaching she did. And we had great times. Right, Antoinette? And I hope you're preparing to do another one at some other time. We don't know when yet. And this week, the mantle is going to fall on who is it this week? Brother Glenn, this is your week, right? And then the next week, Sophie, I think it is your week. I don't know. And Valerie, I don't remember when is your week. And Brother Stewart. Where's Brother Stewart? Brother Stewart, he has a week too. Sister Stewart is going to come with him as his cheerleader that week. And he's going to bring his whole family, because, you know, when you're teaching, you need some kind of support to help you. So Glenn, ask all your families and friends to come out to hear you teach this week about the spiritual gifts, huh? The charismata. Yeah, we're going to talk about that this week. Wow, I'm getting ready for that. But hear this, brothers and sisters. In this passage this morning, Jesus is having his final time with his disciples. This is the final moment he has with them. And the reason I talked about Bible study is because when I'm reading the text and I'm emphasizing certain words, it's a reason. So listen to it again, since you didn't know, and see where I'm emphasizing, and let the Spirit of the Lord minister to you through the flow of the scripture. He took them to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. This is the word of the Lord to us, and we say thanks to God for his word. This passage, brothers and sisters, is reminiscent of the priest in the temple who is at the end of the worship, lifts up his hands and blesses the people. And you remember the Aaronic blessing that we share each Sunday. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. When I was forced to learn another language, it was amazing. But the Aaronic blessing, I loved it so much that sometimes my wife hears me around the house saying the Aaronic blessing. Atayaba rekaka Adonai Elohim Adonai Ishbareka Wakol Vano Uvanim. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And you know the rest of it. I learned it in a song, and I would sing it around the house, because I believe that there is a space in the church of God and in the community of God for the pronouncement of blessings upon the people of God. And I believe that God has anointed the leaders of God to pronounce that blessing upon the people of God. And I believe that when the blessing is pronounced on the people of God, if the people of God receive it when it is pronounced, if when you release it into the atmosphere, the people of God will say, Pastor, I received that blessing over my life this week. It will transform many things in our lives. So Jesus, after he lifted up his hands and he blessed them, he pronounced a benediction upon them. It was now the end of his ministry. It was the end of worship, brothers and sisters. This side of Jesus' ministry was done. It was over. His earthly ministry was now finished. And he was now saying a blessing, a benediction. He was pronouncing a blessing upon the people as they stood there, his disciples. He was pronouncing the blessing upon them as they were getting ready for world evangelization, as they were getting ready to take on the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were about to take on the whole world with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus blessed them before they took on their activities. But something happened while he had his hands up, saying, for example, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord, do you see what's happening? The Bible said while he was blessing them. You know, I got a revelation. When I was leaving Montego Bay on Monday, it was a beautiful day. And when the plane was about to lift off, I grabbed up my phone and I said, let me do a video of this. And I did a video of it until the island of Jamaica was no longer in sight. The colors of the water of the sea changed from one color to the other until it was blue as anything. And then as we lifted higher, it just changed. And after a while, I was seeing nothing but skies or something like that. I don't know what it was, you know. And then I said, it's time to cut my video now because I'm not seeing anything. Jesus, while he was blessing his disciples in the middle of, may the Lord bless you and keep you, they realized that he was going up, brothers and sisters, and his voice was getting fainter, and they started looking at him in front of them, and their eyes were moving until they could not see him anymore. He was taken out of their sight. But the text says, brothers and sisters, he left them. When I read the text and I saw the text that says he left them, it sounded to me like a very sad thing. Because you see, throughout their lives, they kept asking Jesus, when are you leaving? And where are you going? And how are we going to manage when you're gone? And he said to them, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. That's how much they were concerned about Jesus leaving them. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you another comforter. One like me, another like me, who will be with you forever. But so these disciples who can you imagine? Just see with me, brothers and sisters. These disciples, they left Jerusalem to go to the mountain to be with Jesus, are very sad, bewildered, distraught, discouraged, disillusioned set of people. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember that after the death of Jesus, Peter said, I'm going back to fishing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And the other disciples said, we're coming with you. We're coming with you. We're coming with you fishing. We're coming with you fishing. Yes, that's what they said. We're coming fishing with you. We're leaving this thing about the gospel. We're leaving this thing about preaching. We're leaving this thing about this new way. We're leaving it. And so they went back fishing and they were restored. We will remember, brothers and sisters, that all the other disciples had deserted him. We will remember that they were afraid, that they were discouraged. Am I talking to somebody in the house today? They were discouraged. I'm preaching this sermon as if it was the last I'm going to preach, because I'm dealing with some stuff and I'm pressing through this morning. So I'm preaching with everything that's inside here. When I'm done, I'm going to be done. When I'm done today, I'm going to expend everything this morning. Hear me, brothers and sisters. They left discouraged. Anybody discouraged? They left disillusioned. They left confused, heading to worship in their last service with Jesus. But what is it that would cause them, who were worried when he told them he was going to leave? How on earth, brothers and sisters, do we come to the next verse? How can we come to the next verse when these people were, when he left them? He left. If you put that same word in a sentence with a husband and a wife, somebody's going to say, Pastor, don't go there today. He left her, or she left him, or some kids who would talk about their mama or their daddy who left us. Hear me, it's not such a nice thing to say, but Jesus left them. So what accounted for the next verse, brothers and sisters? Anybody remember what the next verse says? I told you to keep your Bible. I want verse 52 and 53 to be on the board, because some people didn't walk with their phones to church this morning, neither did they walk with their tablets or their Bibles. So if we could get verse 52 on the screen, hear what it says. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Why should a people who were distraught and discouraged, how come did they now, brothers and sisters, look what is happening to them? Is it okay for me to take my time and work through this verse? Because this is all I'm about to preach today. I only have two verses to preach today. I don't have a lot to talk about today. Only these two verses. Leave that one up there. The Bible study, those who are in Bible study, you tell me where Pastor is going to go right now. What is Pastor going to talk about right now? Because you're in Bible study. All right, yeah, I hear somebody over here. You're in the spirit, worship. Okay, Pastor Vernon, you got to talk about worship, because somebody saw it in there. They worshiped him. Brothers and sisters, here is Jesus telling them, leaving them. He is now leaving them without a word to them that I'm about to leave now. And this is what I talked to you about. And I'm going up now. I'm going to leave now. Not a word in English. While he's blessing them, he goes up and his voice gets fainter and fainter as he blesses them, as he pronounces the blessing upon them. But something, something caused these people to recognize that it was now their time, and that something needs to come from the inside. Where is my praise team? Praise team, they started worshiping him from the inside. Something was telling them that this is not a sad moment. This is a moment for worship. And when they realized that this was a moment for worship, they started worshiping. The word that is used in the original language that talks about worship speaks proskuneo, means to fall on the knee, to fall prostrate. And somebody said they don't know if on the mountain if they did fall prostrate, but that's what the word means, and we're gonna take it for what it means. They fell down, and people who were discouraged before, people who were disillusioned before, they proskuneo, they prostrated themselves before the God of all gods, before the King of all kings, and they worship. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, some of you need to understand that that phone that you bought for so much money can do so many things in your life to enhance your spiritual life. If you don't understand that Google Play that you have in your room could help you to enhance, when you call out and say, Alexia, play me some worship music, please. Hello, Google, play me some worship songs. Hear me. And when you're leaving your house, you leave it playing in your house, so that when you come back, there is an atmosphere of worship and there's an atmosphere of peace. Can somebody worship God with me? They worshiped. Now I need your help, because I want to connect something, and my lovely Bible study students are going to help me. People like Sister Denton know exactly where I'm going now. She's been following me for 3 years every Wednesday night. She can tell me, Sister Denton, when Jesus was leaving, the disciples worshipped. I want to go back to the birth of Jesus. Anybody remember what happened at the birth of Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. Some angels had a little issue. You know, some angels get excited and had to do some worship. Some shepherds had an exciting moment. Some wise men had an exciting moment. You know. And I talked at Christmas time that during the birth of Jesus, it was a time of worship. Now Jesus is leaving. Brothers and sisters, we are preparing for Pentecost Sunday. They began to worship. Somebody needs to allow worship to come from the inside, from the bottom of your belly. You need to start worshiping. Hello. Hello. Something has plagued me all week this week. All week. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Be careful how highly you think of yourself, man, your flesh, yourself. Because we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. You get me? We are nothing. And the quicker you and I recognize that we are nothing, the better it is for us. Is that all right? So I'm done preaching Sunday night in this powerful service in Montego Bay. I'm at the Open Bible Church, and I'm in the office talking with Pastor Whitley, who preached here. And at one point, he's relaxing in his chair. And at one point, you know, I said, well, Bishop, I'm going to hit the road now. And I heard, like, he said, And I looked up and he's staring at me, and I said, Bishop, I'm going to hit the road now. And he doesn't respond. I said, Bishop, and he doesn't respond. And I rush over to him, and I'm checking to see what's going on. And he's staring at me, and he's not in this world. He's gone. He's unresponsive. I rush out. I get help. His two sons come in. His doctor was at the function. They called him. He said, I just drove out, you know, rush him to Cornwall Regional Hospital. And they rushed him off to Cornwall Regional Hospital. Thanks be to God, he is alive and he's okay now. But I'm saying to you, I'm talking to the man, and the man passed out in my presence, and I had no idea that he had passed out. Can you imagine? We are nothing. And then the question I'm asking the question, we were all upstairs having a good time, eating some good food, and he slipped away and went into his office, and I asked for him, and they said he's in his office, and I went to visit him in his office, and I'm asking the question, I'm just asking, if I did not go in, I'm just asking, you know, and you don't have to answer because I don't know the answer. But I'm watching somebody staring at me, eyes open, no contortion, no disfigurement, nothing like that. He's staring, but he is non-responsive in that split moment. When we come to church, man, we need to lift some holy hands. We need to worship God. We need to give him the glory and give him our best. Give him our best. Give him our best. Because in a split second, these guys worship God, man. Worship. But there is something else. There's something else that they did, brothers and sisters. And I'm gonna rush down and try to see if I can just summarize what I have to say, because I'm looking at the time, and I want to join with you in communion in just a few minutes. They worshipped him. But I want you to see something else, and is that they returned. They returned. Brothers and sisters, Jerusalem was a dangerous place at this time. It was here that the master was killed. It was here that people were pointing them out. Ah, Peter got pointed out that you are one of them. Your accent betrays you. This was a dangerous place. People could lose their lives. But Courtney, they returned to the very epic center. Jerusalem was the epicenter of what was happening. And they returned to Jerusalem. Why on earth would they return to a hostile environment? Why would they return to a dangerous environment? They returned because they got a command from Jesus that they should not leave Jerusalem until, oh my God, one Sunday I'm going to preach, do not leave until, because some of us are in certain situations and we need to be persistent, and we should not leave until. Oh Lord, have mercy. He told them, don't leave Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high. He said, stay in that hostile environment until God comes through for you. Until God births some. Until some of you don't understand why you have stayed, or why you have worshipped, or why you have stayed with God. God wants to birth something. God has conceived something in some of you, and he wants to birth it. But you've got to stay until his appointed time. And whenever is his appointed time, don't matter the trials, don't matter the challenges. Jesus said to them, go back to the epicenter, go back to the center, go back to to Jerusalem, because there is where God is going to birth something. God wants to demonstrate his power in the city. He wants to demonstrate his power in Jerusalem, because there are people in Jerusalem from all over the world. Trading takes place in Jerusalem. Travel, pilgrimage, all kinds of things. If God touches Jerusalem, it is a strategic move, and God does not move without being strategic. And God was going to hit Jerusalem like a bolt from the blue. He was going to send a wind through Jerusalem like the wind we had on the weekend. Hear me, God was going to breathe upon Jerusalem, and when he breathes upon Jerusalem, there was going to be power in the city. I believe that God wants to breathe upon the city of Toronto. And any day God breathes upon West Toronto Church of God at 1655, and the ripples flow throughout the city of Toronto with all of the nations that are in Toronto. If God ever gives West Toronto a plug into the city and gives us a connection, our own connection into the city, and we humble ourselves before God, we are going to be surprised what God will do through this little church in this big city. God is going to do a work through us, and I want to be a part, and I want to sing with the songwriter. Whatever you are doing in this city, Lord, don't do it without me. So remember not to run ahead of me, all right? My mama told me a song, you know, she said, when God is running, you must not run too far behind him. No matter what betide, I don't remember the song. But you must never run ahead of him either. So I don't want you to stay too far behind me. But go back one, media brethren. Go back one. Because you see, they worshipped him, then they returned to Jerusalem. In obedience, they returned. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you that sometimes when God speaks a word into you, when God allows you to read his word and get a word from it, something, a rhema word, one, the song says, one rhema word is all we need to remove captivity and remove the chains that bind. A rhema word. When God allows you, brothers and sisters, can I talk with you about the rhema word? When God allows you to hear beyond what I'm saying to you right now, to hear it not with your ears but with your spirit. Do I have any testimony inside here? I have heard many words that, you know, hit my ear. I've heard preach. I've read the word in the morning when I'm heading out. My wife and I are having devotion. I've read the word, and sometimes, you know, I have to read it again. Sometimes I'm singing a song, and I sing the song one time, two times, three times, and it, you know, something says, stop, no man. But I sing it again, and then it's not my ear that's hearing it now. It's not just my mouth now, but my spirit get connected. And when your spirit get connected, sweet hour of prayer changes. I don't know what it changes into, but it does change. It changes when your spirit gets connected. It changes, and sweet hour of prayer sounds like something else. It sounds heavenly when that transformation takes. I want you to hear not with just your ears right now, and to process with your intellect. I want your spirits to be absorbing what God said. Jesus said to them, don't leave Jerusalem, and at the word of God, they went back, they returned to Jerusalem. Some of us need to return to our Jerusalem and to remain at our Jerusalem. But let me not run ahead of myself. They returned to Jerusalem, and this is what they returned with. They returned with great joy. So anybody can give me my R word? What? They're with great joy. Rejoice, man. Yes, come on. You have to come Bible study Wednesday evening, all right? Yeah, rejoice. So they returned with great straight rejoicing. They left Jerusalem a dejected, disappointed people. But when they came back rejoicing. Lord have mercy. Some of you left your home and you came to church this morning and you came distraught and discouraged and disappointed and disillusioned. Some of your families are experiencing challenges. Some partners are experiencing challenges. Some of you made the mistake to read the mail before you came to church, or to check your text messages, or to check your email, or to check your bank account and realize that the mortgage did not go out. Let me tell you that you can leave here today rejoicing like a mad person, going back to your spouse, going back to your children, and say, listen, your husband said, what's happened to you? And you say, God got my back. Baby, don't you see that the mortgage, the check was this honor? That is okay. God is not a God of this economy. He is not a God of this economy. They went back to Jerusalem and they were rejoicing. Yeah, give me 5 more minutes, please. And let me pull this thing down. Let me see if I can land this one. So they returned and, you know, they were rejoicing and stuff and thing like that. But this is where now I got to hit you and me at West Toronto. You know who they went back to? They went back to their community. They went back to community. They went back to the same people who denied Jesus, betrayed him, deserted him, who got apathetic, who were lost in all of what was going on. They decided, they went back, and guess what they did? Give me my R word. They regrouped. It was a reunion. You know who the Bible said was there? The Bible said that the disciples were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. His brothers were there. Can I talk to you about those people? Let me tell you something. When Jesus, I'm going to work my way over that side. Paul, can I start over here? Jesus, for the first time, Jesus' family, were together with the church. When other people were believing in Jesus, Jesus' family, one of the times his brothers look at him and say, all right, you know, go on up to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you up there. You know, you go on. Yeah. His family was not so sure. Because Jesus never show off in their home and work some like a miracle and show them off that he was a miracle worker. So his family was not so convinced about it. But hear this now. Jesus is gone, and his mother and his brothers and his family, they have joined the church now, and they have regrouped now. So everybody is huddling. They're regrouping and reuniting. Because listen to me, West Toronto Church, you have to take this, believe me. You just have to take this one. Hear me. The devil has all kinds of things that he uses to divide us and separate us. And if the devil can separate us, if the devil can get us to disconnect from one another, he has won half of the battle. And sometimes you have to look the devil in the eye and you have to tell God, God, this one is hard, but I'm going to reunite. I'm going to regroup in the name of Jesus. I'm going to do this thing by faith, God. I know I got burnt before. I know I got hurt before. But Father God, in your name, I'm going to do this. It is your command. Let me do this in faith and watch you work on my behalf and the behalf of the church. They regroup, brothers and sisters. They came back to care. together. Some of us need to come back together. We are preparing for Pentecost, brothers and sisters. Ah, Pentecost caught them in one accord, but we got to regroup. You know, we have a lot of subgroups inside our church, and I understand that some persons came in the 1970s and some in the 1980s and some in the 2000, and some people might not have the historical pedigree that some have. And sometimes, you know, when we get into our shenanigans, we talk about those who are here from the 70s or the 80s or whatever. When we stand before the throne of Almighty God, according to the book of Revelation, he saw a crowd, small and great, from under every nation under heaven, and everybody, no matter when they got saved, they were worshiping God. We need to come together and start worship God, despite where we are from, despite when we came, despite everything else. We've got to decide that we are going to regroup, brothers and sisters, because we want to take the enemy out. We want to take the enemy down in the name of Jesus. If we think we can take on the government of this country and win them, you make a sad mistake. They got the law in their hand. If we think we can take on our kids in 2018 Canada, if we think we can take them on and win, you make a sad mistake. If we're going to do that physically, it ain't gonna work. If we think we can take out our spouses with, you know, all of their thing, you make a sad mistake. And co-workers and them thing. If we think we can take on this economic system and win by ourselves, we make a sad mistake. But I can tell you how to win. I can tell you how to win. I can tell you how to win. If we decide that we're going to take it on in the power of the Spirit of God. These disciples, and I have to cut the sermon here. These disciples took on the world. Jesus said to them, go back. And they went back. They returned. They rejoiced. They regrouped. But I got to tell you, the last one before we come to communion. Can anybody tell me the last one? No, sister. Come, sister. No, man. They remained. There is something about persistence and importunity. Sister Gail got it right, man. She said, they remained, they stayed, they. Hear me. There is something about importunity in prayer. You know, God said in his word that if you seek and keep on seeking, if you knock and keep on knocking, if you ask and keep on asking, God is going to do something. When this church decides to rise up together in faith, brothers and sisters, and start to storm the forces of darkness and all the gifts in the body of Christ, whether we believe that they are fivefold or they are fourfold or tenfold, when we start activating the gifts in the body of Christ, and when we as a church realize that God has given gifts to this community, and that God has given gifts to us individually, and that they are only operative in the body of Christ, when we start like that, we are going to be a force to contend with. These disciples watched Jesus leave. He left them and went away. It was supposed to be a dark hour and a disappointing hour, but for them it was a time of worship. It was a time of rejoicing, because they had gotten a word from God. And when you get a word from God, you know, I like to talk about Abraham. You know, and I hope I don't speak about it ad nauseum, but I like to talk about Abraham. You know, Lot said, you know, Abraham and Lot had a conversation, and you know, Abraham said, you know, there's trouble between my herdsmen and yours, and you know, where we are is too small for us now. So you know, we are brothers. Let there be no strife between us. We are brothers. So this is my version of it. So Abraham said, I'm going to close my eyes, Lot, and when I'm done, whatever you take, whatever is left, I will take it. You know what we call that? What left? Leftovers. Abraham said, I'm going to close my eyes when you're done. Let me count from 1 to 10. You ready, Lot? And when he was done, Lot looked at the plains. And he took it. Now, listen how the Bible talks about it. The well-watered plains. The Bible doesn't mince words. It means that what Abraham was left with. Hello? Hello? What he was left with was not well-watered and was not plain. I don't know that you're realizing what I'm talking about. When he opened his eyes, he was left not, he never had well-watered plains. He was left with barrenness and dryness and but the man had a word. How many of you have a word in your back pocket? Are in your wallet. Man, I got a word. I know I have a word from God. And my Bible tells me your word. Every time I feel discouraged, I say, God, your word cannot lie. I don't understand what is happening. I'm going to read. Hear the scripture that God brought to me when I said, God, you know, talk to me now, Lord. Talk to me. You know, you have to talk to me, Lord. Because, you know, I said, Jesus, can I take your example in the Garden of Gethsemane? I'm moving too fast. Yeah. Can I take your example in the Garden of Gethsemane when you said your soul is troubled unto death? You were vulnerable and you were honest. And I'm saying to you, Jesus, that today I kind of feel like you. Is that all right to feel like you, Jesus? And then him say, turn to Habakkuk 3 and the verse 17. He said to me, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Everything is going wrong, Habakkuk said. You said, Lord, that you're going to bless. But I don't say, you said you're going to bless, and it is now springtime, and there are no buds on the tree. But you said you're going to bless. Lord, how can you say that you're going to bless and there are no cattle in the stall? Somebody, you better receive this, you know, because you need it. You need it. Somebody is in here. I don't see any cattle in the stall. I don't see any buds on the tree. I don't see. I check my bank account and I do not see. Somebody had better receive it, you know. Lord, this morning I check and the lump is still there. Lord, I'm still feeling the pain. My eyes are still messing with me. Yet, I will rejoice. I feel lonely. Yet, I will rejoice. I feel sad. Yet, I will rejoice. It is yours to receive. That word is yours to yet. In spite of. Even though. Hallelujah. I've prayed about this thing, Lord, but I still struggle with it. I'm going home now, God. No food for my kids. I'm going home. My relationship is not better. I'm going home to that same sin cursed place. Yet. Yet. Jerusalem was a difficult place, yet they went back and they remained continually in prayer. They continued to seek God. They stayed among the brethren. They never left the brethren because they were expectant. They knew God said he was going to do something, and they were willing to wait until God made his move. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the miracle is in the moving, is when you move according to the voice of God. And when you obey the voice of God, God will come through for you. Yet, I will rejoice. They went back. They reunited with each other. They regrouped. Whatever the challenges were, stand with me, please. And they regrouped. Some of us need to return. We need to regroup. But they remained in prayer. How is your prayer life going? How is it going, brethren? Are you staying in prayer? Are you staying in prayer? You know, my brethren from Nigeria, don't be mad at me. But you know, many of you have spoken with me. You're in this country and you're searching for a place for you and your family. Meet me here right now. Just meet me here. You can't find a place. They want security. They want credit report. They want all this. Where must you get that? Huh? Yet! I want to pray over some of you quickly. Just meet me here. Any of you searching for a place? You're searching? Yeah. Some of you meet me and you tell me, Pastor, I'm searching for a place. They want security. They want this. They want that. Yet, we're going to break it right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to break it, man. We're going to break it. We're going to break it in the name of Jesus. Come. Father, in the name of Jesus, here is your daughter. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you loose the powers of darkness right now. Release unto her a place for her and her family in the name of Jesus. You are her father. You are her God. Daddy, provide for her favor in the name of Jesus. We pronounce it. We declare it over her life now in the name of Jesus. Father, for my brother, a man who wants to provide for his family. He's in transition. Open a door, make a way, God.